Coming up, we're launching my NBA entertainment rankings for the month of August, starting with the Brooklyn Nets because they are number 30. They are the least interesting team in the NBA. But also, I spent the weekend in New York City with some friends, had a good time. Talk about that later, as well as the Nets and a little bit about the Nuggets at the end. That's all coming up right now. Welcome back to the Kevin O'Connor Show. Today, we're kicking off my August NBA entertainment rankings, looking at the most entertaining teams in the NBA. We're going to start with number 30, go all the way to number one by the end of the month. Number 30, the lowly Brooklyn Nets, coming off of a 20-win season last year, third worst record in the NBA, then a minus 10 net rating, second worst record. Let's first recap their offseason. They traded away Nick Claxton, added Julius Randle in the draft. They added Mykal Brown with the 6th pick, Joshua Jefferson, 28th, Tyler Bilodeau with the 43rd pick. They also signed Keon Ellis, Mo Wagner away from the Orlando Magic. They brought back De'Ron Sharp, Josh Minot. The Brooklyn Nets, you look at their depth chart, they're not very good. This is not a very good roster at all. That's why they're number 30. And there's not many reasons also for entertainment. If you're looking for reasons to watch the Brooklyn Nets, number one is very clearly, will Mykal Brown or Yegor Diomon display superstar potential? These two guys, I think, are very fun, exciting young players. Mykal Brown in particular, we saw what he could do in summer league. He shot flashes last year at Louisville. He's a big guard, very versatile off the dribble. I compared him to Manu Ginobili in my draft guide. And I know it's sacrilegious to any time to bring up a Hall of Fame name, but he is that type of highlight reel generating player. So if you're a Nets fan or anybody else tuning into a Nets game, I think he's really the number one true reason. He is the type of guy that can suddenly make the Nets feel very relevant. And when you pair him alongside Yegor Diomon, a big guard with size who at BYU last year, entering his rookie season, was this, you know, guard who couldn't really shoot. And then what happened in Brooklyn? He was a guard who suddenly was a knockdown shooter. And what if there's a year or two leap from him alongside Mykal Brown? Suddenly the Nets could look like a team that has a pairing of two young guys, a bigger guard in Diomon and a more, you know, two-way combo guard in Mykal Brown, where suddenly they could start looking relevant and start looking fun. Because I think last year's team, I mean, there's really no reason to tune into the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, if your favorite team was watching the Nets or you had nothing better to do, you might watch a Nets game. But I think this year there's a bit more reason. And reason number two, I would say, with MPJ and Julius Randle there, will these two make Brooklyn more competitive? Or is this just going to be a sad, miserable year again? Because with MPJ last year, he was awesome to begin the season. Then he wasn't voted an all-star. And he self-admittedly said that he stopped trying after he wasn't named an all-star. Is that going to happen again? Julius Randle, we know many years ago when he was in New York, granted it's Knicks fans, not Nets fans, he infamously gave the thumbs down to the crowd when he was getting booed by Knicks fans. Is that what it's going to be like in Brooklyn? Is it going to be thumbs down to the crowd because they're not happy? Or is this going to be one of those all-NBA style Julius Randle years? And that leads to the third reason to watch the Nets. The Nets don't have their own draft pick this coming season. It's going to the Houston Rockets in a swap because of the James Harden trade. And so this makes them very intriguing from this perspective. They have some of these appealing young players and Yeoman. And Mykal Brown, like I said, the guys they brought back, if you want to look at their depth chart, De'Ron Sharp is a solid center. Mo Wagner, a solid big man. You know, Danny Wolfe, maybe he ends up being something in year two. You know, Keon Ellis, he's a solid role player. Nolan Traore, who knows what he looks like in year two. There's interesting young players. Maybe one or two of them end up popping with MPJ and Julius Randle, but they don't have their own pick. So there's no incentive to actually lose here. But they're also really the first test of the draft relegation zone. The draft relegation zone with the bottom three teams, next year's draft lottery, they have one less lottery ball than the next seven teams in the draft lottery. So the bottom three teams only get two lottery balls instead of three if you have the fourth and the tenth worst pick. Brooklyn doesn't have the rights to their pick. And so they don't have reason necessarily to avoid the bottom three. If anything, it could be argued it's more advantageous for them to be in the bottom three, because that would mean there's a lower percent chance that their own pick ends up number one, which would mean their 2028 pick would have a greater odds of not being a number one 2 years in a row. And the 2028 draft class is a lot more strong than the 2027 class. And so I think for Brooklyn, they might be a team that has reason to lose rather than reason to win, unlike a lot of the other teams we'll talk about as we go through the entertainment rankings over the next couple of weeks here. Because with Brooklyn, their over-under is 24.5. I'm taking the under with that. 24.5 on BetMGM as of Monday morning. Give me the under, because this is a team that doesn't have reason to win, and their roster is not very good. There'll be a lot more entertaining teams to watch in the NBA. As I put together these rankings, we'll go through it, like I said, over the next few weeks. There are a lot of fun teams. I mean, I think the bottom of the league is not that exciting, Brooklyn included. Sorry, Nets fans. But I think the rest of the league, most teams are going to be competing. Most teams are going to be trying to win. And so I look forward to getting into that starting again on Thursday. We'll be right back. I was actually in New York this weekend. I was in New York. I drove me and two of my friends down to New York City this weekend, some of my friends that I've known since high school over half my life now. And so on the way, there's a Tesla supercharger near Frank Pepe's in New Hampshire, in New Haven. And we started our trip there, got some pizza, very good, headed all the way to New York, went to Central Park. One of my buddies had never been there, walked around, saw the castle there and some other sites. Always good to walk around Central Park. It always amazes me when you're in New York City, the streets are so loud. There's just always honking and yelling and talking and this and that. And then you go into Central Park and it just all disappears. You can't hear anything. It's like you are in the middle of a forest all of a sudden. And I think that's a really, really cool and beautiful thing about New York City. We ended up walking back, went to Momofuku Noodle Bar. After that, my friends had never been there. I've been there. I think the soup is very good. I've had better soup in New York City. So I ended up getting a steak, the black pepper Bavette steak, which is actually absolutely delicious. And my friends loved everything else there as well. Later that night, I went to go see The Invite, the new movie in theaters directed by Olivia Wilde, because my favorite local theater here in Massachusetts is not playing it. And so I was like, oh, might as well go tonight. No, we got nothing else to do. And so I went to The Invite, and I don't want to say much. I went into the movie knowing nothing other than people were enjoying it. So I knew nothing. I always recommend going into movies that way. And I think it is one of the two best movies of the year. I think it is The Invite and Obsession as my favorite movies of the year. It is incredible. I have not laughed that hard and that often in a theater in I don't know how long. I really don't. I really don't know how many years it's been since I laughed that hard in a theater. And the whole theater was like that. It was packed. Everybody was laughing constantly. I don't want to say too much, but Olivia Wilde, I am buying stock in her as a director. I thought it was beautifully done. It's funny, thought-provoking at times as well. So go see The Invite if you have not done so already. Saturday in New York City, we went to McSorley's Old Ale House. That is advertised as the oldest bar in New York City. My buddy said that Abraham Lincoln once drank there. They only serve two types of beer, dark or light. And if you know me, you know I don't drink alcohol. I never was an enthusiastic drinker my entire life. So I got water. The bartender came over at one point, asked if we need more drinks. My friends are like, yeah, dark, light, this and that. And he looks at me. I said, I'll just get more water. He says, are you doing okay? I said, yeah, I'm doing great. And he says, you don't look it. I think that's because I had water. I had the lightest possible beer. You know, it turns out I did some research on this McSorley's place. Abraham Lincoln actually didn't drink there. It's just an urban legend. Found that very interesting. The legend goes that after his Cooper Union address in 1860, which was arguing against expanding slavery, it helped launch his presidential run. After that, the urban legend goes that he went to McSorley's. But it turns out in 1860, when that speech happened, McSorley's was just a vacant lot. tax records in New York City. City directories at the time say it was that it didn't pop up until 61 or 62. And in this research, I was fascinated by this. Me and Abe Lincoln have a lot in common, actually. Turns out he wasn't even a regular or an enthusiastic drinker himself. I read that he disliked the way alcohol made him feel. He said it made him feel flabby and undone. That's an actual quote. And he would occasionally sip wine or champagne at social events, so he wasn't rude. I guess I am rude, you know, because I went to the oldest bar, and I guess I didn't look so good because I had water on the table. Apparently, he did go somewhere afterwards at the Athenaeum Club afterwards, so that's apparently what actually happened with Abraham Lincoln. They have these, like, Houdini handcuffs in there. I don't know, man. The fact that Abe Lincoln actually wasn't there raises the question what is real and what is not in that place. And it does make me think of, like, what are the urban legends in sports that actually didn't happen? I know people talk about Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. Did it actually happen? We do have historical record of that actually happening. There were people there in the crowd, media and fans in the crowd when it happened. There's stuff written in newspapers about it at the time, but stuff like Babe Ruth's called shot in the World Series, apparently that may not have happened. He may have just been talking with the pitcher or talking trash with the crowd. There's mixed reports about whether he actually did call his shot or not. I mean, I think with cameras and technology nowadays, we're not going to have a lot of that anymore. These legends of things that may or may not have happened. We see it all on the record nowadays. Later that night in New York City, we're going to go to a comedy club. I had never been to the Comedy Cellar, but the trip was planned kind of late, so we weren't able to get tickets. They ended up doing another bar, another place, and I went to Rush. So I did a solo concert on Saturday night in New York City. I'm more of a greatest hits fan of Rush. I'm not like a hardcore Rush fan, but, you know, I like their greatest hits. And it was an awesome show. It was great. They hadn't toured for over a decade now after Neil Peart passed away. It turned out Geddy Lee said during the show that it was 11 years to the day that they played their last show with Neil Peart. And yeah, pretty amazing, man. Like, I did some research on Rush. Neil Peart wrote the lyrics to Rush. I did not know this. Pretty interesting. I did know this, though. Roger Taylor with Queen, Don Henley with the Eagles, of course, sang and wrote lyrics. That's more of a thing in the 70s and 80s. Drummers who sang and or wrote lyrics for bands. I don't know of any artists nowadays that do that. That's more of a singer, guitarist, driven activity, more so than drummers like in the 70s and 80s with some big bands. Rush, Queen, Eagles, and their drummers wrote lyrics. Geddy Lee, real name was Gary, born Gary Lee Weinrib. And his mother apparently had such a heavy accent that she pronounced Gary as Geddy. I don't know how that works. I can't quite figure out Gary as Geddy. Alex Lifeson. Lifeson's not his real last name, but it is a translation. He's Serbian, born as Alex Jovinović. That's a lot harder to say than Jokic and some of the Serbians we have in sports nowadays. Jokovic. Alex Lifeson, though, got to be one of the five greatest Serbians ever. Has to be. I mean, his name, Jovinović, translates to son of life, which is Lifeson. One of the five greatest. Jokic, Nikola Tesla, Nikola Djokovic, Alex Lifeson, Paige Stojaković, Bogdan Bogdanovic. I don't know, maybe too much NBA here. But I think with Alex Lifeson, he's in the top five. And for Jokic to be number one, he's going to win another ring. He can't be ahead of Djokovic. Can't be ahead of Lifeson. Definitely not ahead of Nikola Tesla. Jokic needs more rings to move up the NBA all-time rankings, but also the all-time Serbians list. For now, he's just going to be one of the most wealthy Serbians ever. But to be the greatest Serbian ever, needs to win more rings. And I'm worried about that in Denver. I'm worried about that because you look at their offseason right now. They lost Tim Hardaway, who, granted, I'm not that high on. But last year with Denver, Hardaway was undeniably awesome. Undeniably incredible. They lose him to Miami. Bruce Brown, Jalen Pickett are still free agents. Peyton Watson situation we talked about last week that is ongoing. Nothing's changed. He is still a restricted free agent. They lose Jonas Valanciunas. They added Marvin Bagley, drafted Trayvon Brazil, which we'll see. I mean, like, they got more athletic in the front court. We'll see if that works out. They bring back Spencer Jones. We talked last week about all the difficulties they're going to have as a second apron team. They re-signed Tyus Jones, who was so bad last year, he got moved twice. It was the worst season of his career. And I say all that, despite that, they won 54 games with Jokic missing time, Aaron Gordon missed time, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, Cam Johnson, all these guys missed time, and they won 54 games. But as we'll get into over the next few weeks with these rankings, with these championship-driven teams, especially near the top, the bar is high, man. The bar is high. And I think for Denver, I'm extremely worried if they lose Peyton Watson. Extremely worried. So for Jokic to move up those all-time Serbian rankings, so definitely to surpass Alex Lifeson, who still shreds, man. He is unbelievable. I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of great bands over the years. The energy on stage from Geddy Lee, Alex Lifeson, for older guys in their 70s, it is still top-notch, man. The energy in the crowd was great. It was a very male crowd, like probably 99% men there, which is not a surprise for Rush. Very older crowd, a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, and probably 60s. Great energy in the crowd. A lot of fun seeing them at Madison Square Garden, one of their near sellouts at MSG. Always good to see concerts there. Very glad I saw Rush. Recommend seeing them on tour if you can go. So we'll be back. This is a short show today. Not a lot happening in the NBA. We're going to continue the power rankings going deeper on Thursday. We're going to do a handful of teams with Tom on Thursday, and maybe by then we'll get some news as well. We'll see what happens there. But always good to go to New York City. Always good to spend time with your friends. I got some other trips planned this summer as well that I'm looking forward to. And I'm looking forward to continuing these podcasts. We'll do a little bit of NFL stuff as well. Fantasy football around the corner. And if you don't know this already, by the way, the Yahoo Fantasy Football is launching a Yahoo Fantasy Football version for college. That's right. So head over to Yahoo Sports Fantasy for both NFL and college football as well this year. And we'll be talking about that later on this month. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you to Emmy and the team for producing today's episode. We'll be back again on Thursday with Tom. Have a good week.